This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Follow us all on the network at VSiN Live. We'll take you through some of the action here on this Tuesday evening and take a look ahead at what we have to come this week in the NBA Christmas Day slate, the NFL Christmas Day slate. College football bowl games continue. In fact, we're tracking a bowl game in progress right now in Frisco, the Frisco Bowl, being played at the Star, the Dallas Cowboys training facility, where UNLV is taking on Ohio. This game closed with the highest total of all the bowl games for this 2025 bowl season. 66 points was the total in this game. We had a 6-0 score at the half. Now, Ohio had their first possession of the third quarter, and they have just scored a touchdown with a 2-point conversion. So now Ohio leads 14-0. UNLV was a 7-point favorite and got up to 7.5, then went down to 6.5 and back to 7. So either way you slice it, UNLV was the favorite in this game. And people felt, including myself, that with the turmoil, for lack of a better term, that Ohio had been dealing with the dismissal of their head coach, that this might be a distracted bunch or maybe an ill-prepared bunch. But it looks like UNLV is the ill-prepared team. It looks like actually both of these teams are ill-prepared. In fact, that has been the theme of this bowl season. Terrible football. That's what we have seen played in this early portion of the college football bowl season. Earlier today, we watched some of the worst football that we're going to see be played in these bowl games. Yes, you had an exciting fourth quarter between Louisville and Toledo, where Louisville gives up a late score, and so they win 27-22. Now, depending on when you bet this game, some people had Louisville -6. Some people had Louisville -7. The line got all the way up to Louisville -11.5. Well, they don't cover any of the numbers because Toledo scores late there, and so the game ends 27-22. And if you had the over in that game, congratulations. What a miraculous win for your over, which included a 2-point conversion on defense after a blocked extra point. Just bizarre situations that we're seeing here, but it was a 7-3 first half. Winds up being a 27-22 finish. Southern Miss against Western Kentucky looked like neither team wanted to convert. Touchdowns getting called back for penalties. Players just poor football being played. Western Kentucky wins 27-16. And UNLV, 10-win UNLV, which has had a great season. Dan Mullen looking to win his 11th game. You have your starting quarterback, Anthony Calandre. You have your starting running back, Jet Thomas. No opt-outs. We're good to go. They can't score a point against a MAC opponent in Ohio. UNLV is one of the best offenses in college football this season. They can't score a point against Ohio. Interceptions in the red zone, interceptions in the end zone, and just poor football being played all across the board. And as much as I love college football, I mean, I love college football. I host the college football show. I love college football. What NIL has done and what the expanded college football playoff has done is it has made these bowl games irrelevant, and it has made these bowl games some of the more difficult handicapping that you will ever do. To the point where, as we're on a betting network, we're supposed to be helping you come up with insights to bet these games. I'm telling you right now, it's damn near impossible. Unless you know for certain, or you can make a really strong, educated decision how each coaching staff is going to treat the bowl game and what players are going to be playing and who won't be playing. It's very important you keep an eye on all the opt-out trackers that are out there, all the various sources that have the opt-out trackers. But the regular season numbers that we use to handicap these teams, the regular season data, I could give you every data point in the world. It's not going to show you what we've seen on the field today. It's not going to show you what we've seen in any of these games. What you have to do your best job to do if you want to bet these games is, again, figure out what the coach is coaching for and figure out what these players are playing for. Bowl games come down to two things. Are you playing the game and are you coaching the game to win? And everyone's going to say they want to win the games, all right? No one's going to come out here and say, well, we weren't coaching to win. Come on, let's be honest. Let's call it for what it is. No coach and no player is going to say they weren't trying to win a football game. And the players that are playing, it's like they're not trying to win. Of course they're trying to win. But for some coaches and for some programs, the bowl game has nothing to do with this current team and this current season. Some coaches view bowl games as the start of next season, as the start of their offseason. And so what they're trying to do over the course of the week of practice and over the course of the bowl game is they're trying to get a look at their roster for next season. And so even though you might have a game in which seniors or juniors or whoever or whatever players they are, whatever level they are, that are not opting out, so they will be playing in this game, they might not necessarily have had a full week of practice time or a full 2 weeks of practice time or whatever. Because some coaches are using this opportunity to get a look and work with their players while they have them on campus in the facilities so that they can get a leg up on next season. And so over the course of a week of practice, it might be backups that are not even going to play in these bowl games, but, you know, they're going to be on the roster next year. And the coach wants to get a look at them in practice, wants to give them reps in practice. Because once they're done with this season, and then, you know, they leave on their breaks, and then some of them maybe come back, don't come back. There's restrictions on practice time, how long you can have these kids in the building for. And it's just a whole mess, right? We also have to keep in mind they're student athletes. They're supposed to be on a college schedule, meaning finals, break, semesters, class schedule, all that stuff, even though we choose not to admit it. So some coaches are not preparing their teams to play in these bowl games. They're not preparing their teams. They're not sitting here and breaking down film on their opponents. Maybe they'll spend a couple of you know, moments of prep here on their specific opponent for the bowl game. But the bowl game to them is more about using the practice time to work with players that will be on their roster next season and use the bowl game as an opportunity to see those players in real live game situations before the next time they're going to see them in a game situation is going to be in their spring game against their own teams, which is just like seeing them in practice. So it's a great opportunity for them. And then on the other side of it, and this is where if you can identify which coaches coach this way, these are the teams you want to back. These are the teams you want to bet on. These are the coaches you want to bet on. The coaches that are trying to win a game now to solidify this season, to tie a bow around this season. Maybe it's a coach for a team that is 500. They're 6-6 on the year. And it's important for that coach to finish with a winning record at 7-6. Maybe it's a program that has 9 wins. And the coach has maybe a contract incentive when they get that 10th win of the season. Maybe it's just about rewarding your players that's on the roster right now. And the season's not done yet. And the players are going to play and fight hard for that coach. We love betting service academies in bowl games. Those players don't opt out. Those players aren't thinking about next season. They practice hard every single day. They play hard every single game. That's why you see the service academies have a great record in bowl games. Whereas some of these other programs, meh, they don't care. They don't care. I've watched UNLV play every game this season. I've never seen them look this bad. I've never seen them look this bad. And maybe with Boise State looking terrible in their bowl game, with Utah State looking terrible in their bowl game, and now UNLV looking pathetic in more than a half of football, maybe the Mountain West just stinks. And maybe that's the lesson. And maybe, you know, I'm sitting here thinking I'm going to hammer Hawaii, which I already did. I love Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl coming up here tomorrow on Christmas Eve. But maybe the Mountain West just stinks. And how can I bet on them? We've seen all these Mountain West teams look pathetic in their bowl games. So maybe that's how we have to change our opinion of these programs and these teams. But this has become increasingly difficult to handicap in bowl season. NIL, opt-outs, coaching changes. We're seeing entire coaching staffs be gone. You got to pick your spots. You have to throw out your priors. You have to almost not rely on all the analytics and all the numbers that we have on these teams in the regular season, because these teams are a shell of themselves in these bowl games. I'll tell you right now, I wanted to fade the distraction here with Ohio. Clearly, there is no distraction. But a distraction that I do want to fade is what's going on at Michigan, where their interim coach Biff Pogge comes out and says they're probably going to be without 25 players or more in their game against Texas. That's a spot I want to be on Texas. I don't want to be on Michigan in that bowl game, in the Citrus Bowl coming up. We'll have plenty of more bowl games to discuss coming up a little bit later on this hour. Ryan McIntyre, the man they call Moneyline Mac from the College Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, will join me on the program. We'll also get into the NBA, set up the games on Christmas coming up with Tony Mejia from SI.com. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. We're watching the Frisco Bowl in progress right now. UNLV taking on Ohio. We are in the third quarter. Ohio has a 14-3 lead over UNLV. Your live line right now in this game, which UNLV closed as a touchdown favorite. The total was in the 60s. Not so much the case right now. Ohio is a 6.5-point favorite on the live line. Your live total is at 38.5. I played the second half over. It was 28.5 in the second half. I know it's not a great number. 28, obviously, is one that you're looking for, but I saw it at 29.5 and in some books, and I did find the 28.5, so I figured that's probably the best that I was going to get. And so far, we've had 11 points scored here in the second half, which helps with a number of 28.5 because we are going, you know, the key number of 28 is important when it's 7-7-7-7-7s, right? The fact that Ohio scored a touchdown and went for a two-point conversion, so they scored 8, and then UNLV kicked the field goal, 11, well, it's a little easier to attain now, but clock is not on our side. 6:45 to go here in the third quarter. Again, Ohio leading UNLV 14-3 in the Frisco Bowl. That is the final of three games here on your college football bowl schedule on Tuesday. There is one standalone game coming up tomorrow on Christmas Eve, and I hope that it is the game that saves the entire bowl season. In fact, that's what I tweeted out earlier today, was that I hope the Hawaii Bowl saves us from what has been a terrible bowl season in college football. The Hawaii Bowl should be a lot of fun. It is Hawaii against Cal coming up here on Christmas Eve. Right now, Hawaii, they opened up, believe it or not, as a short dog. 3-point dogs. 3.5 in some spots. Within an hour, they were bet up to a favorite. And then goes back and forth. Now Hawaii, a 1.5-point favorite. Total in this game, again, has 55, 54, 53. Keeps going down. We're at 50.5 right now on the total in this game. And for the life of me, I don't know why. Doesn't look like there's going to be any weather effects here out on the islands. But what we will see is two head coaches that are going to open up the playbook. What we will see is two quarterbacks that are going to be throwing the ball all over the field. The storylines in this game are absolutely incredible. Hawaii's playing in their first Hawaii Bowl game since 2019. This means something to this program. This means something to play this game on their home field. And then you have a Cal team that is led by their interim coach, former Hawaii quarterback and Hawaii head coach Nick Rolovich, who's good friends with the Hawaii coach, former Hawaii quarterback Timmy Chang. In fact, Rolovich replaced Chang as the quarterback at Hawaii. You have two quarterbacks, Mike Alejandro, obviously, for Hawaii, and then JKS kid for Cal, that are both Hawaiian. There's going to be so much family and friends in attendance at this game. It means something for both of these coaches. It means something for both of these quarterbacks. This is not just going to be a hand the ball off and let's get out of Dodge type of bowl game. This is going to be a show. I love the over in this game. I love the over. I love Hawaii in this game. You know, Hawaii's got a great kicker as well, right? The Japanese kid who learned how to kick on YouTube. What a great story that is. Hawaii played well in a lot of spots this season. It means something for them. It means a lot for them. And I think you're going to see a great effort from Hawaii. I think you're going to see a fun effort here from Cal. Both teams are going to put up points. I love the over and I love Hawaii in this game. Now, my one hesitation, again, it's watching these Mountain West teams that have played so far here in the bowl season. Boise State, Utah State, and UNLV have all looked terrible in their bowl games. Terrible in their bowl games. So does that mean that we need to downgrade this conference significantly? And maybe that means that we shouldn't be on Hawaii. But I think that you just throw out the conference affiliations, you throw out the regular season, you just throw everything out when it comes to this game. This means something for these players, for these coaches. This means something. They care about it. I want to back that team that's playing with the emotion in this game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Once again, you can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Let's take a look at what else is going on in progress right now. The NBA playing its full slate of games here on Tuesday prior to taking the day off on Christmas Eve, and then they will return with a five-game marquee slate on Christmas. So this is actually the final day of the NBA preseason, some would say. And by some would say, I mean I would say, because the NBA season doesn't begin until Christmas. So the final day of the NBA preseason is going on right now. The big story from earlier here this evening was the San Antonio Spurs defeating the Oklahoma City Thunder for the second straight game. The Spurs eliminating the Thunder from the NBA Cup semifinals last week, and then at home here on Tuesday night as 5.5 to, they opened at 5.5, they closed as 7.5 point dogs. They win outright against the Thunder, 130 to 110. They blew them out. OKC losing back-to-back, losing not back-to-back, but losing three games out of their last five, and two of them to the San Antonio Spurs. What this means for me, though, is that the Thunder on Christmas are one of my favorite plays. Not only is it the immediate revenge spot, which has been a tremendous profitable trend going back years. When you play a team, you lose to a team, like you do the home and home series, you lose to a team, you play them again the next game, backing that team that just lost in the rematch, very profitable, especially in the first quarter. So Thunder first quarter will be a way that I'm going to be looking at that game as well. And then you can also take a look at maybe, you know, the health status. Like, does Wemby play a full complement of minutes on the road on Christmas? We'll see. We will see. Other results here on Tuesday, the Timberwolves beat the depleted Knicks, 115-104. The Knicks, I say depleted, because they were playing without Jalen Brunson and without OG Anunoby. Karl-Anthony Towns scored 40 points against his former team. his points prop was inflated. It was like 28 and a half in this game, but he still goes over, obviously, with the 40-point performance. The Knicks are also a team I want to back on Christmas. Historically, I mean, the Knicks on Christmas, that's just like, that's what you, the Knicks have always played on Christmas. I know they had those couple of years off when they weren't that good, but now they've been back in the fold here. They've won three out of the last four games on Christmas, the Knicks have. What's interesting about those 4 years, the last 4 years, is while they're 3-1 on Christmas, they're 1-3 the game before Christmas. And so they decide to rest Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby here. This was your sign to kind of say, yeah, they don't care about this game. They care about the Christmas game. That's the game they care about. Also, this is a Western Conference opponent in the Timberwolves. They obviously care more about playing the Eastern Conference opponent in the Cavaliers. So Knicks on Christmas, another one of my favorite plays. And maybe the first half under because it's that noon tip-off time, even though the Knicks have gone over the full game in the last three Christmas Day games. Still have some games in progress right now. Yes, teams that will be playing on Christmas as well. And it shouldn't be a shock that the teams that are playing on Christmas did not have great efforts here on Tuesday. Lakers just lost to the Suns 132-108. The Nuggets lost to the Mavericks 131-130. Cavs did blow out the Pelicans 141-118, so they showed up. At least they showed up. And in progress right now, the Rockets with a 47-46 lead over the Clippers there in the second quarter. So we'll keep an eye on that game as we progress throughout. But I don't think it should come as a surprise that some of these teams that are playing on Christmas laid eggs here in their final game before the important nationally televised Christmas Day games coming up here on Thursday. If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from bowl season and the NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll get our college football playoff betting guide featuring expert playoff brackets, power ratings, college football, and bowl best bets, and access to game previews for every bowl game up on vsin.com. So give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I know that Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, came out earlier and talked about how they're trying to avoid tanking with teams. To me, tanking's really never been the problem. The problem's been the load management, which I know they've tried to address with the fines and whatnot. It all comes down to this. The regular season's way too long. And I think as bettors, if we can identify the spots where we think guys are going to sit or teams aren't going to try as hard, kind of like college bowl games, you can be really profitable betting the NBA. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're keeping an eye on the Frisco Bowl in progress right now. They're being played at the Star, the Dallas Cowboys training facility, where UNLV trails Ohio right now 14-3. UNLV closed about a touchdown favorite. This total was into the 60s, and we have seen anything but the version of these teams that we expected to see in this bowl game. Quite the display of poor football being played, but right now Ohio has the football looking to extend their lead. On the live line, Ohio is a 10.5 point favorite. Your live total is 33.5. I just want points in this game because I live bet the second half over, so we have 11 points already in the second half. We're at the end of the third quarter right now. I just want to see some points being scored here in this football game. But I mean, you look at the numbers that we've seen so far, and you're thinking to yourself, how do we not have more points in this game? Ohio has 326 yards of offense, 15 first downs. UNLV, 13 first downs, 217 yards of offense. Each team has four penalties. The turnovers, though, have killed the drives. Three turnovers for Ohio, two turnovers for UNLV. That's right. We've had five turnovers in this game. In fact, we have seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 punts out of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 drives. So it's, yeah, let's see how the rest of this game plays out, though. Hopefully more points are scored. And maybe it starts here with Ohio scoring and extending their lead. Again, on your live betting line right now, Ohio a 10.5-point favorite, total of 33.5. We're going to get more into college football. Joining us in about 10 minutes or so from now is going to be our friend Ryan McIntyre from the College Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We'll get his thoughts on the college football playoff quarterfinals that will take place about a week or so, some interesting games lines, some interesting spreads, and what can we take away from the first round games to make some bets here coming up here for the next round of games. We're also keeping an eye on the NHL in progress right now. This is the final day of the NHL prior to their Christmas break. So no hockey games coming up on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The league will return on Saturday. The games that are in progress right now, Flyers with a 2-1 lead in the third period over the Blackhawks. Avalanche holding on to a 1-0 lead over the Mammoth with under 5 minutes to go in that third period. I did bet the under in that game. Talked about this on last night's cashing out program. When the Mammoth and Avalanche get together, the under hits. It's 4 out of the last 5 games have gone under. There's something about the Mammoth slash Utah Hockey Club slash Phoenix Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes that has given the Avalanche fits over the years. I don't know how to explain it. I would say that maybe for some time it was the Coyotes slash Utah goaltender, Karel Vemelka, who's a left-handed goaltender, so he's a backwards goalie, and maybe Colorado just has trouble shooting on a backwards-handed goalie or whatnot. But, I mean, Vitek Vanacek's in net tonight, so that's not the case. There's something just in the air when these two teams play each other. You are actually profitable if you bet on Utah slash Phoenix every time they play, because Colorado is always the favorite. So just amazing the battles that these two franchises have had over the years. So I don't know if we're sweating out. We have the under 6.5. It did close at 6. There's 3:50 left, and it's a 1-0 lead here for the Avalanche. Elsewhere, the Golden Knights with a 5-1 lead over the Sharks. Vegas scored all 5 goals in the first period. Second period is winding down now. I did not want to be on Vegas tonight for some, you know, I looked at the lineups, you looked at the morning skate, you find out that Jack Eichel is not going to be playing here for the Knights, and it just had me not wanting to back them. Well, boy, they have been fine just without him. Tomas Hertl with the goal, Brett Howden with the goal, Mitch Marner has scored, Colton Sissons has scored, Mark Stone has scored, so 5 different goal scorers for the Vegas Golden Knights as they lead 5-1 over the San Jose Sharks. And then one other game in progress, or 2 other games in progress, 5 minutes left to go. Edmonton is beating Calgary 5-1. And 5 minutes left in the second period, a game that we are sweating out and under 5.5. Seattle has a 2-0 lead on the Kings. I don't want to jinx it. Well, I wouldn't be jinxing anything. They have a 2-0 lead. Well, maybe I could be jinxing it. Either way, there's no such thing as a jinx. The Seattle Kraken are playing the second night of a back-to-back, the second game of a back-to-back. They played on Monday. Now they're playing here on Tuesday. Same thing with the Kings, by the way. They're also on the second night of a back-to-back, which may be why Seattle's up 2-0. But anyway, Seattle has lost 17 straight games playing on the second night of a back-to-back. I repeat, the Seattle Kraken, going back 2 years, have lost 17 straight games on the second night of a back-to-back. Hey, maybe if you want to live bet the Kings right now, thinking that it becomes 18 straight games, here's what you can get on the Kings money line now, down 2-0 with 5 minutes to go here in the second period. Now it's 3-0. The Kraken have scored. See, I told you, I can't jinx it. I can't jinx it. Kraken just scored. It is 3-0 with 4 minutes left. So now the money line is going to be absurd. It's going to be like plus 1,200. if you want to bet on the LA Kings down 3-0 right now. The only thing that I'm sweating out here is, the under 5.5 is I'm hoping to come home. Teams, when you have a game this season with two teams playing on the second night of a back-to-back, it's 22-16 to the under. So we'll see if this one comes through here with the Kraken and the Kings going under 5.5 against Seattle with a 3-0 lead now, looking to snap that 17-game losing skid on the second of back-to-backs. So no hockey for the next couple of days in the NHL, but coming up the day after Christmas, December 26th, is the start of the IIHF World Junior Championships. It's the under-20 international hockey tournament that takes place every holiday season, and this year it's actually on U.S. soil, it's in Minnesota. It's one of my favorite betting events of the year. I talk about it all the time on every platform that I have. I don't think I've had a year that I haven't made profit. Again, I'm not trying to jinx myself on this. Past two seasons, not only winning individual games, but winning the U.S. to win, picking the U.S. to win the tournament outright has come through the last two seasons. So the United States looking to three-peat this year. They are not the favorite, though. Canada is a small favorite on the betting lines right now, about plus 110 to plus 120 on the outright markets. I'll be here with you guys all week. So we'll preview some of the games that come up here on Friday when we talk on Christmas night. But I am on Team Canada to win this tournament. This is Canada's version of the redeem team, if you will. Last year, Canada did not medal in the World Juniors. And I don't know if a lot of you listening out there or watching out there have followed Canadian hockey or are aware of some of the bad publicity that has followed around Hockey Canada over the past couple of years. And just Google Vegas's goalie, Carter Hart, and you'll see everything that went on there. But the organization really needed a win, okay? After not meddling in, they won the Four Nations Face-Off, which is great. Obviously, everyone's excited about that, and everyone's excited about the Olympics coming up next year or in a couple of months, if the rink is even ready there in Milan. But not meddling in the World Juniors, being ousted, it really was a black mark on this program. And they decided to revamp things. They brought in a full-time general manager to oversee roster construction. They changed the way that they put the roster together, like they did a training camp. And they actually, even though they didn't get Macklin Celebrini, who's playing for the San Jose Sharks right now, who's 19 years old and would be eligible to play in this tournament, they did get a couple of other NHL players that are under 20 to be released from their teams. So second overall pick, Michael Misa, will be playing. Gavin McKenna, who's the projected number one overall pick, will be playing. So the roster's loaded, and it means a lot. This is a lot of pressure on them, but rightfully so. That's going to be a fun event to bet on. And these events, we used to talk about this with the WNBA like 5 years ago, where you got to pick soft markets to attack. Because if you have the advantage over the sports books in terms of the knowledge that you have on this event, when they're trying to price games like the college football playoffs, like the NBA on Christmas, like the NFL on Christmas, we could take advantage of some soft lines here. And that's exactly what we're going to do coming up for the World Junior Hockey Championships. Hey, make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roasts to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks delivers top quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. Every steak is perfectly aged and hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VSiN exclusive, you're going to get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. Visit omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. Let's get into college football coming up next here on Cashin' Out on the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashin' Out, I'm Scott Sattenberg with you on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Still watching, painfully, this Frisco Bowl between UNLV and Ohio, where there's 8 minutes to go in the game, and the Rebels trailing Ohio 17-3, but UNLV does have the football, so we'll see if there's some late magic here. We have seen some of these bowl games actually have some late scores, and miraculous overs have come through. You're not going to get an over in this game, but I'm just hoping to get a second-half miraculous over in this game. But we have seen some bad football, to say it nicely, in these bowl games. But the college football playoffs, that's a different story. Those games have been excellent. Joining us right now to talk some college football playoff on the Progressive Guest Line, he is the host of the College Experience Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Ryan McIntyre joins us here on Cashing Out. Ryan, what have you made of this bowl season so far? Outside of the college football playoff, how have you handled these games? How have you enjoyed these games? How have you been betting these games?
Well, appreciate you having me on, Scott. I, a lot like you, I bought a lot into coach speak early on. Guys that are returning a lot of production or bringing back their coaches, continuity, and mainly fading guys that took other jobs or just a bunch of guys that opted out. But it's kind of been a little bit all over the place. So I thought Utah State would have been the right side there. They got kind of handled by Wazoo after Rodgers left and took another job in Ames, Iowa. So, I mean, Louisville got backdoored earlier today. I know we were talking about that previously. And now kind of Ohio and UNLV's kind of been a stunner here, where Ohio fires their coach. UNLV has been explosive offensively all year, and now they only have 3 points with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, very confusing stuff that's going on here. Now, I want to ask you this, because I'm trying to work this out in my head and ponder this. I'm on Hawaii tomorrow on the Hawaii Bowl. I love Hawaii. I love the over. But watching Boise State look terrible in their bowl game, watching Utah State look terrible in their bowl game, watching UNLV look terrible in their bowl game, maybe the Mountain West is just bad, Ryan. And maybe Hawaii's not the side that we should be on in this game.
Yeah, I'm actually on Cal. I thought Cal actually was underrated the entire year. I know they fired Wilcox, but they bring back Rolovich. Rolovich is actually the last guy to win a bowl game for Hawaii here. So he's going back to the island against Timmy Chang. Good friends here. They bring back their quarterback. And I just think I'm with you. The Mountain West struggled in the non-con. So sometimes I think we get enamored with teams when they get into league play, and we ignore what they did in the non-con when they were not playing teams that they're so familiar with. So I'm going to fade a Mountain West team here. I'm going to take the Cal Golden Bears. And honestly, this may be the most important bowl game of the entire bowl game season, just because there's no other sporting events on tomorrow night. There's no college hoops. There's no NBA. There's no NFL. This will be the highest volume outside of a college football playoff bet game of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible to watch. I mean, you mentioned it with Rolovich being there, like him and Timmy Chang are boys. Rolovich was his backup, took over for Chang when he got hurt, right? And then Rolovich also the former head coach at Hawaii. Yep. Both quarterbacks are Hawaiian, so they're going to have family there. It's going to be a great game to watch. I really hope it lives up to the hype. Give me the over. Both of these coaches are not just going to run the ball. They're going to let these quarterbacks have some fun in these games. Let's talk college football playoff, Ryan. And based off of the results of the first round, which team that won their game impressed you the most out of the first round winners?
Great question. It definitely is going to be one of the two road teams, just because, and not just because I'm piling on the G5 like a lot of other talking heads want to do, but I just think winning on the road in college football is extremely difficult, and especially with these environments in college football, and it goes to another gear in the playoffs. So I'm going to go Miami, man. Just the way that they were able to handle A&M offensively, they really should have won that game by more if they could just make a field goal. I know the wind was bad, but I mean, you should be able to make a 30-yarder no matter what the win elements are. So I think Miami's defense, they were really good in the trenches. And I think you go back to what they were in the non-con, back to my point with Cal earlier, they beat Notre Dame, they beat Florida, and they really looked the part, and they looked like a national championship contender. I know Chris Ball has a history of taking some lumps of games he shouldn't, and they did that against Louisville and SMU. But I think Miami's playing really good football, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, Miami definitely defensively impressed me the most out of all the teams that won their games here in the first round. So with that being said, now we look at Miami going up against Ohio State is this spread too high given what we've seen from Miami defensively?
I think it is. And I think I'm pretty confident that Ohio State's going to win the game. I'm not going to call for the Miami money line at plus 280.
Do
but
it.
Trust me, New Year's Eve, you get a couple cold ones in you, maybe I will fire a little money line just to make it a little exciting ending 2025. But you see the total there at 42.5. I think it is going to be a rock fight. I think both teams are going to struggle to run the ball against one another. Both quarterbacks are going to have to make plays. Sayan's got to be able to make some plays through the air. And same with Carson Beck. Carson Beck didn't really play that well against A&M, but they were able to hit a couple big runs late. I like the under, and I like the Canes here with the points. I think Ohio State wins a rock fight, something along the lines of 24-17. I think it's going to be an entertaining game on New Year's Eve there.
Yeah, I think one of the aspects that's being maybe underreported or underappreciated is Ryan Day taking over the offensive play calling now with Brian Hartline getting the South Florida job. Let's see how Julian Sain, you know, freshman quarterback, now how does he deal with some disruption as far as who's in his headset and who's calling the plays and what that format's going to look like. As we're previewing here, the college football playoff, joined by Ryan McIntyre from the College Experience Sports Gambling Podcast Network on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. The closest lined game of the college football playoff is featuring Texas Tech and Oregon. I thought that Oregon's offense looked incredible against James Madison, a very formidable defense. But Texas Tech's defense is a different animal. This is the best defensive front in the country. Can Oregon put up points here against Texas Tech?
I think they can, but I think the wrong team's favored. I think that this is a little bit Big Ten bias here with this inflated number. I think Texas Tech is the better football team top to bottom. I know Oregon's talented with Dante Moore's quarterback position. Dan Lanning's a really good coach, but I think Texas Tech, I mean, they're undefeated with their starting quarterback, Baron Morton. He missed the Arizona State game where they lost that crazy game. You mentioned it. Their defensive front is dominant. They went to Utah and really flexed their muscles in that game. And every challenge they've met, I mean, for them to sweep BYU the way that they did in dominant fashion, BYU's a really good football team. And Texas Tech imposed their will. I think they're going to be able to impose their will. I think they're going to force Oregon into a one-dimensional team where they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more than they want. And I think Dante Moore, being as young as he is, I think he's going to make a mistake or two. So I'm going to take the Red Raiders to win the game. In this one, I probably would look to the over just because I think that both offenses are explosive enough. And I think that we'll see some fireworks in this game. So, yeah, give me Texas Tech and give me the over in this one.
And what impressed me about Texas Tech in those three wins, the win against Utah and the two wins against BYU, it's not just that those are quality opponents. Those are some of the more physical teams in the country. Yeah. And so to win those games against physical teams like that, that will pound you, that will bruise you in the trenches, I think that showed a lot for this Texas Tech program. We got about 2 minutes left. I have two futures tickets, Ryan. I got Texas Tech to win the title, and I have Georgia to win the title. If they face each other in the national championship game, we're having a great day. Who do you have right now as far as your futures bet to win the national championship game? Or if you just want to tell me to get to the national championship game, who do you have?
I have the two teams you just said. I think we're going to get a Georgia-Texas Tech national championship, and I do have the Dogs winning it. I love the Dogs this weekend against Ole Miss because Kirby is so good in these second meetings in the season. Mm-hmm. We saw it already against Alabama this year, the defensive adjustments he's able to make. We saw it last year against Texas where they were able to beat the Longhorns with the backup quarterback. Now they get Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin. I love the Dogs laying the points in that game against Ole Miss, and I think ultimately Georgia will win their third national championship under Kirby Smart here in about a month.
They just, you know, it was them and Notre Dame for me, right? And I don't want to have the argument again about Notre Dame, but, like, there was a reason why Notre Dame was the third betting favorite to win the national championship because they looked the best after the first couple of weeks. Besides Notre Dame, Georgia is the team that has looked the best as the season has progressed. They are a much more complete team now than they were earlier in the season. So I think you're right there. I'm right there with you with Georgia to win the title. Ryan, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time. We'll be following along with the pod and enjoy the games.
Appreciate it, Scott. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. There he is, Ryan McIntyre, co-host of the College Experience there on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Hit him up on Twitter at Moneyline_Mac. UNLV is in the end zone. consolation prize, if you will. About 4 minutes or so left in this game. Still need a miracle in order to hit this second half over. But hey, some things have happened. Coming up next, we'll hit the take a look at what happened earlier today in college football, as well as the NBA and NHL. Start to look ahead at all the games coming up here on Christmas week. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.